who he would draft on his fantasy Hollywood fake baseball team. Will he be anybody in particular you're gunning for? Who would be your number one pick?
Oh, my number one pick. Well, that's tough. Well, I get back to the catchers. I kind of agree with Rodney there. I'd have Dottie Henson as the backup, and then Joe Louis Brown from Long Gone would be my starting catcher.
Oh, wow. That's good. That's a good one.
So am I just part of pop culture and believe into too much of Hollywood's hype to say Crash Davis should be the starting catcher?
Nah, I just think maybe he could DH. You know, him and Serrano could do some DHing or something.
That guy is...
Did you guys cover a second baseman yet?
No, we haven't gotten second base. We actually had a hard time figuring out who our second baseman would be. Do you have an idea?
I have the perfect right side of the infield.
Who's that?
At second base, Jamie Don Weeks from Long Gone. That was the part played by Dermot Mulroney in Long Gone.
Yeah.
And Dermot Mulroney?
He was a scrappy guy, really defensive second baseman, kind of a slap hitter. And then at first base, I'm surprised Rodney hadn't brought this up, but from Bingo Long, Fat Sam Popper,
yep,
who was played by none other than Leon Daddy Wags Wagner. That's a guy that had 12 years of major league experience.
Right. He little weather, a little long in the tooth, but I, when we first started, I was like, yeah, I got two movies. Bingo was one, and then League of Their Own was the other one. The majority of my team was going to come from.
I can't believe that I forgot about the movie Brewster's Million until Freaky Deaky brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
Not a lot of players, but it had a pitcher and a catcher, so.
And what position did Tony Danza play in Angels in the Outfield? Because he can sing, he would make the clubhouse light. I think Tony Danza would be a perfect
pitcher, wouldn't he?
Utility player, yeah.
Utility, there we go. Hey, it is the Astros Daily segment right here on Game Time on 1560 The Game. Willoughby Lakey joins us. And, hey, man, I think the main topic in the clubhouse yesterday was not the fact that the Astros won their second in a row. I think it was more about the fact that the Astros got a home run from Mr. Pitcher, Brandon Backe.
Yeah, isn't that great? That's, what, his third of his career? And the guy's just so full of energy. When you look, even when he's not pitching and they show shots to the dugout, he is up and down and moving around and bouncing. Just must be a great guy to be around in the dugout.
And he also pitched very well. Yesterday, Shawnee and I were discussing. At one point, it seemed like the first two innings, I think he threw like 27, 28 pitches. And then he slowed down a little bit where the pitch count got back to normal. But this guy, he addressed it yesterday. Brandon Backe is trying to limit his balls because he throws a lot of pitches and gets a lot of long at-bats.
Yeah, I'm not sure if when he came out there in the sixth, if he had just lost a little focus, if he was... Maybe the long bottom of the fifth kind of played into it, but he just seemed to be a little bit off. But, yeah, those first few innings, he looked great.
He did, and one thing that he commented on yesterday was he thought maybe, and Coop brought this up as well, maybe he was in the dugout a little bit too long because that was after the big inning that the Astros scored five runs. And sometimes, you know, when you wait so long in between innings, it can take a little bit out of you.
Yeah, I heard Cooper say that, and I assume he's got a pretty good touch on what's going on there in the dugout. But it just seemed like he also lost just a little bit of focus. It just kind of got him off his game sitting in the dugout a little bit too long. Plus, I'm sure he was thinking about that home run.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that long inning, what was good to see, I mean, that sixth inning, like I fully left my house. I was watching him, left my house, and then came back, and he was still pitching. At that point, you know, in a couple of previous seasons, Brandon gives up 3, 4, 5 runs, and I was just talk about the way he was able to. He had guys on base, but were able to work through it. It was a very long inning. At one point, he had like 8 or 9 straight balls in a row. But how important it is for him, the fact that he got back on track and got on there without giving up a lot of runs.
Well, yeah, I guess you're talking about there in the sixth. You know, he walked a couple of guys, and then to see Villarreal come in and kind of close that down, that was a good sign because I'm hoping he can get back on track. But yeah, Backe just I just like the way he plays. You look out and see people like him or Pence, and they just seem like they're really having fun in addition to just trying to win.
Our guest is Willoughby Lakey of AstrosDaily.com. And one last thing on Backe. How often do you get an inning where your pitcher has an opportunity to hit 2 home runs in one inning? I mean, he obviously didn't do it, but the opportunity was there.
Oh, yeah, and I was sitting there just waiting for him to at least get another base knock, if, you know, maybe not a home run, but if he'd gotten a second hit in that inning, that would have been so nice.
Number here is 713-439-1560, and we are talking all things Astros. We're here at the bus. If you want to come out with us, the Hair of the Dog Show, we've got breakfast tacos for $2 a piece here. We also have some what is it, Bloody Marys, and the bus is just a great place to come hang out, watch some basketball. If you don't have tickets to the game, come watch the Astros and come watch some basketball. Have some fun with us. Hey, will it be? We got a question from Ryan Ed, who sends one in. It's more of a two-part question, he says. And Ryan Ed, a big contributor to the show, are you satisfied with the overall offensive production the Astros have been displaying lately? And do you think the Astros will be one of the highest scoring teams in the National League this season? Yes, and yes.
Yeah, you got to be happy. Since about that, like that bottom of the eighth, a couple of Sundays ago, when they came back and rallied. Since that, you know, two Sundays ago, they've been playing pretty well on offense. We kind of coughed one up this week in Arizona that we should have won, and we were shut down in St. Louis a couple of games. But you know, they've got some really good pitchers. So as far as the highest scoring team, yeah, we could be the highest scoring. I'm not sure if it will translate into necessarily the best offense, and that all depends on how you kind of rate those things. I know people put different weight on different categories. The biggest issue still right now is just getting on base. We've got too many guys that have these on base percentages of 300 or even less. We'd like to see that come up. But the high scoring, sure, we have a chance.
Hey, Willie B, we've got to send a special shout out to the AstrosDaily.com bulletin board. We've got Pat H in the house. It's the second time he's made it out here, so we're happy to say. And Pat wants to ask you a question. He is here. He wrote something on the board, but I'm going to give him an opportunity to ask a question. So I'm going to pass over the mic.
And his beautiful daughter.
And his beautiful daughter's here as well. So Pat H, go ahead and throw your question out to Mr. Willie B. Lakey.
Hey, how you doing, Willie?
Hey, pretty good, Pat. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, the question I put on the board was, I know you're in the beautiful Texas Hill Country over there, and I'm curious as to when you follow for a minor league team, it must be difficult to follow the players because you have no sense of any identity with any of these players that are really the better players because they always are moving up to the major leagues. So I'm curious as to, I guess the focus is just on the baseball and not really on the players themselves, unlike here in the major league town where you get such an identity with guys that are here and here to stay for a good long period of time.
Yeah, you know, that if you're out there trying to watch the same guys play all the time, you've kind of got the wrong attitude going to minor league baseball games this time now. The minor league games are all just about the entertainment, you know, that the game in front of you, the team in front of you today, there's always the things going on between innings and all. So, yeah, I don't really let that bother me. You kind of say goodbye to the guy that gets called up, wish him well, and then say hello to whoever's taking his place.
Hey, we're joined by Willie B. Lakey of AstrosDaily.com, and I think that was a very interesting question because when you think about the minor leagues, you do associate with the team more than you do associate with players themselves. But then at the same time, you feel a connection to when they get to the majors where you've watched them grow, you've seen them, you know, you saw them when they couldn't hit that curveball, and then you see them in the major leagues still struggling with the curveball, but they are hitting a lot of home runs, i.e. Hunter Pence.
Yeah, and you know, that goes back in the early 60s. I used to go out and spend time at my grandfather's ranch in the summer out near Uvalde, and he'd drive me into San Antonio to see a minor league game every year. And it was so neat to have seen people like Joe Morgan and Jimmy Wynn play for the old San Antonio Bullets and then see them come up with the major league team and see them play there. So,
hey, Willie B., we've got the man who goes by his first and last name on the line now. He doesn't just go by James. He goes by James Anderson. Let's go to the lines, and we're joined by a man who's helped us
Mr. Anderson.
And Senor Anderson, who's helped us get some big-time stars here on the show. What's up, James?
Hello, David.
Hello,
Rodney. How you doing?
Hey.
David, I think there's congratulations in order for you and your wife. You're going to have twins?
We're having twins in June. Yeah, two boys are expected. We're super excited about it. Thank you very much.
You're going to be able to fill a basketball team here pretty soon, right?
Oh, we're already signing up for Hoop It Up next year. Don't you worry about that.
For sure, the backcourt.
I'll tell you. We may not be able to score, but defensively, we're a solid unit.
Hello, Willie. How you doing?
Pretty good, James. Good to hear you again.
The question I want to ask you is concerning the leadoff hitter and how important that is. And, of course, we're going to talk about Michael Bourne here, who has disappointed lately. But the last two games, he's stepped up quite a bit here, especially yesterday. And I'd like to get your opinion on Michael. What do you think of him as a leadoff hitter and if he's going to be able to stay in the lineup for the remainder of the season?
Well, you know, right now he he's struggling, and I have a tendency to yell things I shouldn't at the TV on certain at bats. But
yeah,
at the same time, I think I have to kind of agree with what Richard Justice said just a while ago about you've got to give this guy a chance. You've got to let him play, and you're not going to see what he can do as a leadoff hitter if you move him down to eighth in the order or something. So, and it's not like Hunter Pence is doing all that much better as far as his strikeout-to-walk ratio. I know Matsui did all right in that role, but for a couple of games. But no, I have to agree with what Justice said. You kind of have to throw this guy out there and let him go for a while. I think you got to give him at least another couple of weeks, and or maybe through May.
Yeah, he's a very smart base runner.
Oh, yeah.
I know he had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that when he gets on base, he's just not going to steal the base every time he's up there because he, I think he mentions, I'll give you an example. He says, if I'm on first base and Lance Berkman's at the plate, I'm not going to try to steal second because I can score from first on an extra base hit just as easily as I could from second base if Lance is at the plate.
Hey, guys, let me interject. I think that's the thing that Michael Bourne brings to the table. And also you can say the same thing about J.R. Tolles is that extra element. Yeah, they may be struggling batting, but you know they give you that fear of, oh, if this guy gets on base, forget about it. It's a wrap. It's a run. This guy's going to steal second base. I mean, there's also the mental process about when you take it on a batter's like this. And J.R. Tolles, I mean, with Brad Osmus, as much as I liked him, you weren't ever worried he was going to go long.
Right,
and that's the case with both of them. You really just need to let them play, and as frustrating as it is for us as fans just watching the game, you know that they're struggling with it themselves. But again, they both seem to be having fun and doing their best, and I'm going to stand behind them right now, at least through May. You got to let these guys play.
Hey, James, anything else?
Are you guys picking a Hollywood Dream Team for your baseball lineup?
Oh, yes, we are. And if you don't give us your input, I'm going to be very pissed.
I was thinking of someone who would be great at the catcher position and from the movie Austin Powers. Can I say the name? Fat Bastard on the radio?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, as big as he is, he'd be great at blocking the play.
Yeah,
Yeah, I didn't think of him as an option, but I mean, if we could test him out.
Yeah, if there was a wild pitch, might not be the fastest to get to the ball, but
at the same time,
running through him
at the plate, if he make contact, it's probably a home run. He's like the Cecil Fielder.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but didn't he have a thing for eating babies or something? I mean, Tanner wouldn't be too safe around him.
No, he
Tanner would not be safe.
And the beauty of having a guy like Fat Bastard is that he would also use his chicken or his drumstick as a bat as well. So, you know. It'd be like
I never thought of that. That would be great.
Hey, James, we appreciate your time. And also, I know you're going to call back a little bit later with when we have Mike Capps on the line. I want to remind all you AstrosDaily.comers that Mike Capps, the voice of the Round Rock Express, will be joining us at noon. Send in your questions to us. You can email it at GameTime@1560thegame.com. If there's a particular minor leaguer you want to find out about, or just Mike has got a very intriguing story. You'll hear a story how he was already a big-time media name but decided he wanted to be in baseball, and we'll get into that with him. So send us your questions, or we'll even check the board for it. But, Mr. Anderson, we appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. And we are due for a break right now, Willie B. Lakey, but we've got Ryan Ed on the line for when we come back from break. Ryan is one of the special contributors to the show. He always has some great takes on the message boards and his phone calls. So we'll get into Ryan Ed. We'll talk more with Willie B. Lakey. We'll continue our AstrosDaily.com segments. We'll continue playing rap music. We'll
anything says Drayton McClain and Astros baseball, it's rap music.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And you know what? Why not come out to the Wawa? Pat H. is here. He's got his daughter here. We're hanging out. We're having a good old time. We're across the street from Minute Maid Park right before the Astros go for the sweeperooski. What a bad word I just used there. Sweeperooski.
Drayton wouldn't use that either.
It's not good. I'm very embarrassed by that. But call us up, 713-439-1560, or email the show, gametime@1560thegame.com.
Lance Zierlein here. Summer vacations are almost here, and while you're out of town, why not let Man's Best Friend not only board and groom your best friend, but also train them as well. Get all the bad habits that drive you crazy resolved. Your dog will love it, and so will you. For 28 years, family-owned Man's Best Friend has been the professional difference in dog training. Training classes are conducted using a leash, a collar, praise, and affection. It's made Man's Best Friend one of the largest dog training facilities in all of America. Two locations, I-10 West at the Beltway and Luetta Road in Spring. Reserve your space now because they fill up very quickly. Call 713-932-6709. That's 713-932-6709. Let Man's Best Friend be your best friend. 713-932-6709.
For a well.
With regrets, it's John and Nick for Nick's Place.
Hello, Mata. Hello, Fada. Here at Nick's Place with John Granato. Nick's Place is very entertaining. And it's difficult to play golf when it's raining. Tell the wife you must go work hard. Grab your laptop, go to Nick's Bar. Drinking cold beer, we'll take two more. Add a pizza and a calzone, that's to die for. Tell your father and your brother, going to Nick's Place is like no other. Hot chicks and whiskey, you'll sport a chubby. Some things at Nick's Place that you can't share with your buddy.
We'll see you at Nick's Place. Open daily from 7 a.m. till 2 a.m. 2713 Rocky Ridge at Westheimer.
God peace!
Panzer on here with a quality of life update. I've got 2-in-1 package for you. Number one, it's a porta potty rule. It's simple. Porta potties are the most disgusting places on earth, but you have to take advantage of them or use them in certain instances. If you go into a porta potty with your shoes untied, then your shoes stay untied the rest of the day. That's how it is. You don't touch your shoelaces. You just let them hang there. And then after a day, for some reason, it's magically okay to touch them again. I don't know the rule. It just happens that way. Number two, if you're a single guy and you don't like having to go buy stuff at the grocery store, next time you're over at a fast food place, get about a whole crap load, and I can't really tell you how much that is, but you just know how much it is, a crap load of napkins, and bring them home with you. Then you don't have to get paper towels for, like, months. Always do that. Same thing with ketchup packets, but I don't have to tell you guys that because you're smooth like that. That, my friends, is your quality of life update. Fools!
Hey, Nuno, wake up, man. It's game time. Sheesh, I gotta do everything around here.
Jimmy Vaughn.
Jimmy Vaughn?
I know he hasn't done very well against this guy, but I got a hunch he's due. Haywood likes the hard stuff out over the plate, so bust him in and don't get up with anything. You listening to me, Rick?
Yeah.
Okay, you're my man. Go get him, kid.
I don't know how he did it, but Lou Brown, manager of the Cleveland Indians in the movie Major League, had one of the most hard voices to mimic in the history of sport. I mean, it's just, but I tell you, his coaching style, his managerial expertise, his mustache, his ability to turn a group of misfits into
vagabonds, even.
I mean, just into this guy is one of the most underappreciated managers of all time. Lou Brown.
My opinion, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't know if the body of work is there. I just really know about a couple seasons, to be honest with you. But I think
as many major leagues they had, now granted he wasn't in all of them, but he sparked the franchise. You know, he would be one of those that's a contributor to the game. That's where he would get his easy pass.
An honorable mention would have gone to the manager in Bull Durham. But we do have a bench coach, and it's not him. We'll get into him a little bit later. But if we bring in Willie B. Lakey back from AstrosDaily.com, joining us here on 1560 The Game's Game Time with David Nuno and Rodney Waits live at the bus. What up? Hey, what are your thoughts on the manager? I got a little gangster on you there, Willie B. What are you okay with Lou Brown as our manager?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. The only other manager I can really think of might be Morris Buttermaker from Bad News Bears.
There you go. There you go. Walter Matthau.
A little bit of an alcohol problem, but, you know, you can get past that.
What was the, is it Craig Stadler, the Walrus? Is that right? Have you ever seen him and Lou Brown in the same building at the same time?
No, I'd probably confuse them.
Okay, well, I mean, I think we figured out a couple things here, that basically Lou Brown and Craig Stadler are the same person, and Steve Nash and Kelly Leak are the same person. So we're breaking some news here on 1560 of the Game.
There you go.
Hey, man, let's continue on. We've got one of our favorite callers on the line, Ryan Ed, who wants to chime in. I think he'll probably have a Rockets take, but he'll definitely have some Astros take. What's up, Ryan Ed?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Wonderful, my friend. What's going on, buddy?
I'm actually calling you from my cell phone right now. I'm inside church.
Inside church?
Yes.
Oh, are you getting communion or anything like that? I don't want to bother it.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I just wanted to say that the question I have is about Miguel Tejada.
Yeah.
It's been really exciting to watch, and I'm just wondering what Willie thinks about his performance this season.
Willie B., tell us, baby.
Man, I can't hardly hear him.
Oh, he basically, Ryan Ed said that your thoughts on Miguel Tejada, on your opinion on this year. I mean, he's been a surprise. I think people realize the kind of guy he could be, but after all the scandals with the E60 and the steroid scandal and the Mitchell report and his age and all this and that, he has really come to play.
Oh, I agree, and he's been much better than advertised at shortstop so far, I think. That's where he's been the biggest surprise. He also seems to, I don't know because I'm not in the clubhouse, but it seems like he's really kind of bringing part of the infield together, at least. Him and Matsui are working well together. So the other stuff, the steroids, the fact he lied about his age to try to escape poverty, I don't know how you can really blame a guy like that. So that stuff doesn't bother me. I just watch him play ball.
Hey, one thing I do want to comment about, do me a favor. Today when you watch the Astros play, watch Miguel Tejada's body language after every at-bat, after every base hit, after every play, and even when he's not involved in the play. He is constantly pumping his fist, talking to his teammates. He is, when he gets a single, he's just as excited as when he gets a triple, a home run. I mean, the guy really brings a ball of energy to the team, and it's a different style than we've seen here before. I think Biggio had a lot of energy as well, but this is a different kind of guy, and I'm very happy to see his influence on this clubhouse because, hey, we already knew we love Lance Berkman, but I'm starting to really love Miguel Tejada, no matter what production he brings on the field.
Yeah, I agree, and he seems to, even though he gets we've discussed this, I guess, before, Biggio and Bagwell during that era, was that they kind of had a quiet way of leading the club, kind of very understated. Tejada and Berkman, and I love to watch El Caballo. He always looks like he's having fun. This seems Backy is another one. They just seem more vocal. They're more I don't know that it's just a little bit more fun to watch than some of the quieter teams in the past, I think.
Hey, Ryan Ed, anything else, buddy?
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that I really enjoy your show. And I'm hoping the Astros will sweep the Brewers today, and I look forward to calling you in the future.
Ryan Ed, we appreciate it, my man. Rookie of the year right there when it comes to callers. He's good.
Struck down by lightning.
What's that?
Unless he gets struck by lightning.
That would suck.
Calling from inside a church?
First one of those for sure.
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
No.
All right,
he should at least give a warning as to what church he was in.
Well, you know what? I think it shows the power of 1560 The Game at AstrosDaily.com that people are so... You know,
it's biblical.
There you go. There you go.
Willie, I want to ask you, as far as Roy always come back around. He's got three wins on the season, but the next in wins are two relievers, Valverde and our boy Mr. Wright. Is that a good sign? Is that bad? What do you think about that? That the two of the top three guys in wins for the Stros are one's your closer and one's a middle reliever.
You know, Rodney, I just don't put much weight on wins that are given to pitchers anymore. A couple of those wins that Valverde got were the result of blowing saves. Wright's come in and picked up a couple of wins just being the guy on the mound at the right time when we came back to win a couple of games. I just look at the W column for the team and don't really put too much emphasis on that as far as the individual pitchers. But I do agree. I mean, Justice was talking about this earlier. If we can get Villarreal turned around the way Wright's doing as a Rule 5 draft pick, this has been a great pickup for us. Valverde's looking better. Geary's something about Geary that has struck me the last couple of times he's been out is he seems to be getting away with a couple of mistake pitches, and if that's going to follow him all year where he can catch a break on some of the mistake pitches, then he's going to be an excellent guy for the 6th, 7th, and 8th, maybe.
Hey, Willie B., you're talking about Oscar Villarreal and Wesley Wright. I want to touch on those two guys. First off, Villarreal struggled mightily early on, but yesterday he came in a very tough situation and got themselves out, you know, got out of a bases-loaded jam with one pitch. And Wesley Wright has been just, this guy, it doesn't matter what situation he comes into, he is not fazed at all. A couple nights ago, he came on with a bases-loaded no outs. It was in Arizona, and no problems at all. He got out of it like he was a veteran.
Right, and that's the best part about watching Wright is he doesn't seem to be awestruck that he's up at the majors right now. But he's a guy like Bourne and Tolles that we're going to have to kind of live with some of the growing pains. But yeah, it's great. Plus, we ripped the Dodgers off on that. So how much better could it be?
Well, I guess if we could steal people from the Cardinals, that would probably be a little bit better. But other than that, it's up there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I love watching him pitch. He just hasn't ever looked like, you know, has never had that deer in the headlights look about him out there. And like Justice was saying, if we can get Villarreal turned around, this is going to be really good.
Hey, the number here is 713-439-1560. We've got Willie B. Lakey here with us from AstrosDaily.com. If you got your questions, call us up or email the show at gametime@1560thegame.com. Got a lot more stuff to get from the bulletin board. Rodney's got something for you, though.
Willie, are you concerned 14 games in of his season, Matsui, 5 errors so far? I know myself and Nuno were talking about they're going to have to, you know, get some camaraderie in the middle of that infield. How do you think that's going to, you know, because people were definitely worried at the beginning of the season or season starting in spring training about Tejada, but what do you think about Matsui and his defense so far?
Well, yeah, it's concerning, but I think part of that also is that he's still kind of in spring training as far as working with Tejada out in the field. So if he's got 10 errors, you know, 28 games in, if he makes 5 more the next 14, then I'll really be concerned. But right now, no. I mean, he's going to come around.
That's Willie B. Lakey of AstrosDaily.com. Willie B., when we talk about this team, they're one game under 500, and Richard Justice talked about the schedule is going to be very kind to them in the next couple of weeks. What do you expect to see out of the Astros the next 2 weeks?
Well, the worst part of the schedule in the next couple of weeks is the West Coast swing. They got to go play the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are just making it happen right now. So, getting past this game today, pull off this sweep, and at least take 2 out of 3 from Washington is going to be real important going into L.A. The Giants have some excellent pitching, but hopefully we can just pound them to death with our offense. And then we start the interleague play with Texas after that. So, if we can get through this game today and win at least 2 out of 3 from Washington, I think we can get past the Giants. Who knows with the interleague play? And then we come back and we got a big homestand with the Cubs and the Phillies.
Here's a question from Speedy 08. It goes, how much more rope does Chaito get with Daddy and the Astros legend as a coach?
Well, I can't answer that. I wanted little Cruz to succeed, I guess, as much as anybody. But right now, he just looks overmatched. I don't know if it's a case of being in his head playing with his dad or playing for his dad's team that he was a star for. The problem is you've only got one guy down at AAA, Victor Diaz, that could even come up and start to take his place. And Diaz doesn't have that great of a track record in the majors, so I don't know how much more rope you give him. That's another reason I think you have to let Bourne play as much as possible.
The number here is 713-439-1560. You can email the show at gametime@1560thegame.com. We've got a couple more minutes with Willie B. Lakey from AstrosDaily.com. Want to remind everybody, Mike Capps of the Round Rock Express joining us at noon today. We'll be talking a little bit about the Astros, his thoughts from afar, and also on the upcoming Astros, which guys we need to watch out from and keep up from Round Rock.
Today's pitching matchup, Samson, he's on 1-3. And going up against Ben Sheets, talking about hoping for the sweep. The Astros have played awesome the last couple of days. Do you think Samson's going to be able to get the win on today?
Well, I hope so. Sheets has always been hard on us. The news about him is his last start. You know, he missed one turn with some forearm tightness, I think, and then in his last start, he wasn't all that great. It wasn't all that great of a start for him, at least. As long as Samson doesn't get in his head that he's facing a guy he can't beat, we can beat this guy.
Now, what do you think about the Brewers? They're a team that is definitely underperforming. Last year, they had such a good start, and then at the end of the season, they kind of fizzled out. They had a chance to win the Central. This year, they're just hovering above 500. Well, and I think part of the problem is, and Ned Yost talked about a little bit about this yesterday, their offense hasn't been what he expected.
No, the offense hasn't, and that's a scary part with that. They could just turn it on at any time and go on a tear, just like the Astros sort of have been doing lately. They've got some great young kids, Weeks and Fielder and Hart, J.J. Hardy, and then, of course, Ryan Braun. So, the offense, if I was a Brewers fan, I'd be more concerned about the pitching, you know, staying solid and getting something out of that bullpen. David Riske and Eric Gagne have been haven't really been holding up their end of the bargain.
Yesterday, Sean Pendergast and I were discussing the fact that Ned Yost, at least in this series, has kept his pitchers in a little bit longer than expected. Yesterday, Alex Parr was in there. What's his first name? Parr was in there for a little bit too long. Obviously, that fifth inning where he gave up the five spot. Is that a trademark of a Ned Yost team?
Yeah, I don't know what a trademark is with him yet because he's only been on the job for a few years. I think he's having to do it because of the. They've lost Giovanni Gallardo for the rest of the season, probably with a knee injury now. Sheets has missed a start. He has to stick with some of these guys a little longer than maybe he should. He's got Solomon Torres down there. I think Guillermo Mota down the bullpen. Those are guys that can pitch an inning or two at a stretch. So I hate to second guess even our own manager, much less somebody else, but I think he's having some pitching problems. That's why I wouldn't be concerned if I was a Brewers fan with the offense right now.
Speaking of our manager, how do you feel about Cecil's performance thus far? As the manager of the Astros, we know he's made some choices, and Nuno's crying like several times about, you know, his actions with the media. He said some things in the media that, you know, recently after the Arizona trip, about some of his players. What do you think about the job that Cecil's done so far with the Astros?
I give him a pretty good grade. He doesn't seem to rely just on the proverbial book like some other managers do. And I think he's trying to bring this club together. This whole team is kind of new this year, so I'm going to give him a good grade so far. There are some decisions that I wouldn't have made. Maybe wouldn't have. Gone with Borkowski as long as he did the other day, but I like Cooper. I'm going to give him at least a full season before I start to come down too hard on him.
That's Willie B. Lakey from AstrosDaily.com. Man, you know what? We've had great participation today from the emails and callers, but one guy who was absent is Bob Hulsey. And Bob, where you at, man? I mean, you're a staple. You're the leader of the league, and yet nothing today. Nothing. Just kidding, Bob. You know I'm playing with you. We love Bob Halsey from Astros Daily. Hey, Willie B., I appreciate your time, man, and we're going to catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
Hey, sounds good. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks very much. Great work today, Willie B. Lakey from AstrosDaily.com. And
there is a buzz around the ballpark right now, Mr. Nuno.
Yes, there is. And, you know, one thing I love about coming to Astros game is...
And the bus.
Oh, the bus, of course. You know, the way people dress to games... It's awesome. It's shorts. It's summer. It feels like summer is here.
A lot of sleeveless action going.
Yes.
And good sleeveless.
You know, I'm used to wearing suits to everything I go to, and I dressed down today.
You do have designer starch jeans and over $150 in your shoes.
I mean, are paper denim jeans really designer? I mean, come on.
I mean, granted, they're not true religion that some of us Rodney Waits may have on, but, you know, hey.
Whatever you may be.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Whatever. Hey, we are hanging out for another, let's see, it's 11:30, an hour and a half. It's hard for me to do math, KJ. It's very hard, but you know what? Well, let me ask you, KJ. Are the Astros going to get the sweep today? Are they going, because I know you're the eternal optimist when it comes to Houston franchises. Are the Astros getting the sweep? I want to hear from you, KJ, because the Rockets, you still think they won that series.
Rockets in seven.
You know, you said that you thought they should have swept everybody in the country. As a journalist, of course. What do you think about today's Astros game?
Ben Sheets come in undefeated. They haven't seen him this year. If they win this game, it'll be because they outlasted him as far as 5-6 innings. Meaning that I don't expect to see them get to him anytime soon. So, I mean, Ben Sheets, he's just been hurt over his career. That's the only reason why he's not, you know, Jake Peavy.
Yeah.
And
Anybody else?
The other guy in, I can't think of his name, in Arizona. So, but Jake, they won't. I don't see them beating Ben Sheets today.
No?
No. Not, like I said, unless they, you know, hold off one or two runs to the seventh inning, and then they can get jump to the bullpen. Late. But other than that.
Well, as Richie detailed earlier, this is an important game because the rest of the next couple of weeks, they've got that West Coast trip, but they've got the Nats coming in. I mean, these are definitely winnable series. Get over 500 and then play your cards right. You never know what happens. But there's been a lot of games that the Astros should have won this year that they have not won.
Should have won.
Should have.
That's what's frustrating. I mean, you shouldn't have lost two games.
To the best team in baseball, though?
Still, you had them beat.
Okay.
You had them beat, and you had them beat in a game. You had St. Louis beat, and then Carlos Lee goes and thinks that he's trying to pick up a taco instead of a rolling basketball.
Speaking of tacos, breakfast tacos here are...
Breakfast tacos all gone now.
They're done.
Damn, I didn't get one.
Again.
That's all right, though. But there's pizza.
Pizza's rolling. We are at the bus. Texas and Hamilton right across the street from Minute Maid Park. I guess the doors just opened. KJ has informed us that it's interlocking bobblehead.
Interlocking bobblehead.
What does that mean?
That means it's a combo bobblehead with Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell.
They're
interlocking their hands, giving each other a high five.
If you're under 25,
you know,
those are the greatest Astros in your lifetime.
Well, here's the thing. I think today is the Biggio. There will be a later date, apparently.
Oh, okay.
That you have to come back to get the Bagwell.
So you get the right hand today and the left hand tomorrow.
I think it's a genius. I think it's a genius bit of marketing, if you ask me.
It forces you to come.
My boy Clint.
Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. I'm not going to say the two players' names, but if there were two interlocking bobbleheads in the NBA that may have played for Houston.